let's go ahead and get started. Mr. Pitzer's getting a sandwich. He'll be right back. Any objection to that? You want to wait a few minutes for Matt?
No.
Okay.
Tim, you want to get started? Or John, you want to ask Tim to get started?
Okay, that's my cue. And
this is not part of the closed
meeting. Good evening.
This is not closed.
Right.
This is a work session called Census Data, but a long title would be Census Data as it relates to words, because what we've been asked to do in the last couple weeks is just come up with, for discussion purposes, a couple of adjustments to the existing word map to show what that impact would be. And I've been working with Dan Rose, who's in the IT department. He's our GIS manager, Dan in the corner. And Dan has produced the maps that you see on the report that's on tonight's agenda. I think it's on page 19 of the agenda, so we're going to preview that with this discussion. There's also just some kind of snapshots of other demographic characteristics of Columbia per the 2020 census, so that council and our audience has an idea of what's been made available as being released by the U.S. Census Bureau. So that's the two parts to just review very quickly what data have been released as part of this Public Law 94-171 redistricting data set, which of course is useful for states as well as localities. And you can see the particular data that come with that: population, race, Hispanic or Latino ethnicity, voting age, population or population 18 and up as a count, subtotal, and then housing unit counts by occupancy status, that is occupied or not occupied, population counts in group quarters. And counts are available at the census tract and all the way down to the block level. A block is a very small unit, and that's what we use in formulating the ward maps. Those are the basic building blocks. They're generally bounded by features that you can see in the landscape, like streets and streams, but occasionally they include invisible boundaries, like a jurisdictional boundary might complete a block in some cases. And then census tracts are units that aren't necessarily nested within the city's boundary. At the edges, they are going to overlap with unincorporated territory. And a census tract is generally a population of about 1,200 to 8,000 thereabouts. So that's another unit of census geography that that we use. And then getting to the census data by words, it's evident from the 2020 results that we have three wards, first, fifth, and sixth, that are noticeably greater than the average ward population, which works out to be 21,042 persons. And then there are two wards, the second and fourth wards, are under that value. And then our third ward is only 10 different. It's 10 larger than that. So it's 21,052. So it is basically the average ward population. And then for this exercise, kind of in the style of the last ward reapportionment redistricting process, the maps were labeled trial A and B last time. A committee working with staff went all the way out to trial A through E, and it was trial E that was actually selected by that committee and recommended to the council. And we're not treating this as if you've started the process. I believe you just wanted to see what we could do in making fairly modest changes to the wards. So here's that. Here's a table that shows what I just told you. You have also the growth since 2010. So by ward, you can see how the numbers increased in this column here, population change 2010 to 2020. You can see the Ward 5 grew the most in absolute numbers as well as percentage, and then Ward 1 checked in with the second largest gain, with Ward 6 also a similar gain there. And I'd note that, stated in the report that you have on your agenda later, the overall disparity between largest and smallest ward this time around is about 14% off the average. And last time the Ward Reapportionment Committee started out with a much larger disparity. Ward 1 in 2010, before the ward boundary adjustment, was quite a bit smaller than the other wards. It was under 14,000. So it was brought up considerably through a ward remap. And 10% is kind of a benchmark value. But the goal in the literature that we distributed, there's an article that we had provided, or a similar article to something we had provided to the committee in 2011 that we've provided tonight in the report, that indicates that the goal should be to try to achieve equality in population. But 10% is kind of the number that's considered defensible as far as the disparity between largest and smallest. And back in 2011, the committee adopted a working standard of 5%. Their goal was to minimize disparities in population between wards to the point that it was no greater than 5% difference. So this is the Trial A map that we put together, and it's really three areas of change. And want to explain that one of the further constraints we have on this, which was a constraint that the committee imposed last time, was, well, let's not move somebody out of their ward who's a sitting council person. So we did look at where the council persons live, and that in two cases that limits boundary shifts, because you have council persons that live quite close to a council boundary. So just wanted to note that we pinned those addresses. And so the changes are, first of all, to move this area from first to second ward in the pink here. And so that's an area west of Stadium Boulevard, and then the lower portion of it is west of Fairview Avenue. And then secondly, move an area that's kind of the north and center portion of Ward 5 to Ward 4. Since Ward 4 needs to gain, as does 2, that shift is made. But then, because it's a very large shift, it's something on the order of 1,800 persons that live within that area. There's an area along the east side of Providence Road that we are shifting outside of, or we're shifting from 6th to 5th to offset some of that loss, if you will. 6 is another ward that has higher than the average population. So as part of this exercise, the goal was to move some of it to another ward. Of course, you can't move easily anywhere else but to 4. It gets more complicated if we involve all the wards in this. So 3rd is left alone in this trial, and population would not be changed. And then this is zooming in so you can kind of see, you can kind of see not only some of the streets there, hopefully you can see some of the streets, you can recognize the mall area and those little numbers. Dan, those are the block population figures. The mall, of course, has zero population. And then you have some other values, some 258, 389. That you can see some individually fairly large blocks indicating components of that shift. But the goal is to try to be compact and contiguous, so try to keep boundaries fairly fairly regular, so it doesn't look like we're playing favorites with who lives in these census blocks. And this area is very hard to describe, but we have large unincorporated area south of the MKT Trail is part of this. And this actually runs north of Nifong, goes to Club Village. In one location, it actually touches Green Meadows. It runs along Green Meadows to several streets. That's Oak Lawn right there is the name of the street. And then you have natural landmarks around here. I believe you have the creek forms that loop there by the trail loop there. So this is quite a large dramatic shift from 5 to 4. Again, this is an exercise. This shift from 6 to 5, smaller number, and the idea is to offset some of that shift that you just saw into 4. So this is Ward 6 going into 5, so 5 actually gaining from 6, but 6 is also needing to lose population. Then I'll go over trial B, and we can come back and look at the specific numbers. The shift from 1 to 2, we didn't do any differently. That's the same. And then the big change here is in this big mess right here, you have both an area of 6 and an area of 5 going to 4. So 4 gets enlarged, basically moving eastward. I think we looked at the possibility of taking part of 1, but didn't go there. So again, that's that same detail map. It's actually, should say trial B there, but it's actually the same map for both trial A and trial B. Here's a detail. This is the grassland subdivision up at the north here. So that's Providence Road coming down. And you can see the block number details here indicating how many live in those areas. The concentration is here. There's some population also at the south end. And I don't know, Dan, if maybe was another block maybe picked up in this at the south end? Or does that look correct to you? It looks like there's some large numbers here that could be picked up to increase that number. Sorry, it's got a hair trigger. So again, the idea is to kind of take that protruding tip of Ward 5 and move it into 4, since 4 shares a very long boundary along it, and it needs population to get closer to average. And then 6, once again, 6 needs to lose, but instead of going to 5th this time, this whole area is being shifted to 4. So the label is correct. It says Ward 6 to Ward 4. So it would be 1, 2, both of those areas that would be moved. Okay. So once again, an area, the northeast of 5th going to 4th, northwest of 6th going to 4th, and an area of the west end of 1st going to 2nd. That summarizes your trial B. And then working back, that same shift, 1st to 2nd, and then this area of the center north area of 5th going to 4th, and then an area along Providence Road going from 6th to 5th.
Tim, what's happening down in the southwest, where the sewer treatment area is?
Bottoms.
Is there a shift happening there as well?
There is, and it's very light population. I actually did not include an exhibit. I think that's further discussion because there's such sparse population there. It's a lot of city-owned. And What we've got there is a piece that looks like it might not be contiguous, that's colored as fourth word. You want to have all portions of a word contiguous, so it probably needs to all remain in fourth.
It's currently in fourth, all of that?
Well, it needs to be in fourth is what I'm saying, because it's not contiguous to any other word.
Right.
Yeah. The only way you could make it part of another word.
So it is not contiguous with the rest of your.
Yeah, the only way you could make it part of another word is to do a more dramatic shift, which would take additional territory out of fourth, but we're not proposing to do that. We're not suggesting
that. But it was allowed to go into fifth in a previous year despite the contiguity rule.
Well, I'll have to.
Councilman Thomas, those are added at the time that you annex the property. It's designated, and I would just say that was an oversight
on
staff's part to put that into the fifth ward instead of the fourth ward. It really just should have been in the fourth ward.
And those were annexed in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's just a correction.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a correction of what we should have
heard. Thank you, Ms. Thomas.
Thank you.
I appreciate the clarification. Numbers, both of these sets, A and B, what they would do is they wouldn't make the words equal. The difference would be 2% as measured by the method of taking the largest minus the smallest and then dividing by the average. You have a 2% deviation. We're starting out with a 14%. So that's what this represents. To get down to equality probably would mean working with some specific blocks, or maybe doing a more dramatic shift in the map. It's
but equality is not the goal.
Well, I think we set out trying to get as close to equality of population as we can. Now, there's other factors that council can look at, such as what's the projected population. Do we have an idea that because of character of perimeter territory, we're going to get a lot of growth, in sixth and fifth, or plats that are underway, these kinds of things. You can look at these other factors. Something like that was done in 2011, where Ward 5 was put at a lower population value at the outset. You can see what happened. It added 5,000 and overtook the other wards in population during these 10 years. So you can look at factors like that. You can look at demographic composition, representation, of course, minority representation. You can look at that. Other factors can be used, but ultimately you want it to be a reasonable percentage, not something as large as 14% deviation.
Any other questions? Observations? Requests for information?
Tim, is there any data that you received 10 years ago that you don't have now?
Data that we received?
Any census data? Any more granular data or anything?
Well, we're behind because of the late release. I mean, unfortunately, this process fell neatly between election and filing last time, and that's the normal standard for census release. So, yeah, it's a matter of processing it more than what's available.
But the set of available data.
You have the basic set of what you need to accomplish a redistricting, but, yeah, it's getting on top of it, looking at more of the fine-grained stuff.
Mm-hmm. Were there any so right now, the Fifth Ward has pretty natural boundaries, the Hinkson and Providence. Were there any other configurations that you looked at that had, perhaps more natural boundaries rather than what you've done here in both of these options?
It's hard because once you get to the interior of the newer areas, I'll say, where we don't have a lot of rectilinear streets that define these kinds of boundaries, you get a lot of odd line, kind of a lot of curve or sinuosity in the boundary, and you can see that kind of in the detail map, what we presented here, you know, we could look at this edge here, because it's not as legible to the public as something like saying, well, the MKT defines the difference between the two wards. Likewise, Providence Road in this view, you know, produces an intelligible boundary. You know, you say, yeah, 6 is east, 5th is west. And that's kind of the difficulty with doing these small incremental changes to a map that's already got that, those kind of nice clean lines. It's, if we're asked to just move a little bit, moving a little bit kind of creates some interesting shapes.
Well, I appreciate the information. It sounds like from what Mr. Thomas pointed out, the part that looks like Italy ought to go with the fourth ward, and that would help mitigate some of the probably increasing population down there over the next 10 years. But
it's actually zero right now. There's no gain or loss in that area.
Oh, okay. Well, then it could be moved so it's contiguous and not make a change.
That's kind of my pet project.
Okay. But I appreciate the information and the what you've been able to move and not move. So I guess we'll decide if we need to get a committee together to look at the same thing. But I appreciate the information, so thank you.
I wanted to mention a couple other things. It was commented on at the last meeting, or asked what census products are available now that were through September. And of course, we got an initial release of the redistricting data that was really intended for data professionals, guys like Dan. Now you have a little bit more user-friendly data that's out there. A couple things I'd recommend, just to get kind of an orientation to Columbia patterns, the 2020 Census Demographic Data Viewer at census.gov, which is an interactive map. It only goes to the tract level, so there's a lot of patterns that you're not going to pick up within census tracts because they're generally pretty big, but it can kind of show where different concentrations are of different aspects of this redistricting data. And then at data.census.gov, using the advanced search function, you can access all kinds of block level data. This is from the census itself. Of course, there's Missouri Data Center and other organizations that also package census data. And then our own GIS department, they handle requests for census data from time to time. So this is what that visualization tool looks like. These are just some of the themes. If I may go through them rapidly, you can see it's a tabbed interface here. You just tab the theme that you're interested in. This is population density, so the darker the blue, the greater the population density, not surprisingly, at campus, so we see the greatest density. This is population 18 and up as a percentage, so in the legend, the darkest shade is 81% or more of population within the tract is 18 and over, so kind of by inference, you can assume that the households with a lot of children tend to be in the lighter shaded areas. Here's occupied housing units as a percentage. The values start at less than 50%, of which I don't think we have any, but they go to 90% or more. Here's a look at group quarters population as a percentage. Downtown and east side, portions of the east side of Columbia, that's a factor.
Group quarters is what? Multi-family.
Well, think congregate living, dormitories, assisted living.
Apartment buildings?
Places. Apartment livings, no. Those are individual households. But in other jurisdictions, things like prisons are counted as group quarters. So.
If you say nursing homes.
I don't think we have any of those, but and then you have white population. This is the white population and another race, I believe, is the tab. Black or African-American alone or in combination. So they do two different themes here. And I don't believe we have any tracks that are in the 50%. We have 25%, though. I think it ranges in low 30% by track. And then the medium shade might be in the area of 10 to 25%. And then this would be those that reported Black or African American alone, not in combination with another race category. So they have race alone, and then they have in combination to recognize persons that identify as mixed race. And then just going through here, Asian. This is the pattern for Hispanic or Latino, which is considered an ethnicity, so it's not counted separate from, or it is counted separate from those other figures. It's not mutually exclusive necessarily. And American Indian and Alaska Native, Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islander, and so on and so forth. Didn't include each and every theme, but you get kind of the idea.
Do those maps let you zoom down to the census tract?
Yes, you can.
When you hit the plus and minus buttons, what happens?
Yeah, this is just a static display.
Okay.
But you get a pop-up on each and every one that you set your cursor on and click. You get a pop-up, and it will have the exact numbers and stuff. So I just wanted to show you.
Can you give me my census tract? So
yeah, down to the track level for this particular visualization tool. And then you can go to other databases if you want to drill down. The thing about maps that color the entire census tract, a particular theme, is it doesn't give you the internal variation, of which there might be some. There might be concentrations of the particular demography that you're analyzing. But it's useful as kind of a snapshot view. And the census itself, for privacy purposes, uses a top-down kind of methodology when they evaluate how small blocks should get.
Mr. Teddy, you sent us some other information where you talked about qualified census tracts. And what's the significance of that for this exercise?
Yeah, there's several named tracts that are considered the Columbia qualified census tracts, and that's a term that indicates eligibility areas for low-income housing tax credits. That's where the term originally comes from, and I understand it's referenced in the American Rescue Plan.
Wasn't that, we are an entitlement community under that status because of certain census tracts, is that correct?
Yeah, it's a dual measure percentage in poverty. I'm trying to think what the other measure is, but it basically indicates some economic distress at the tract level.
And then I noticed there was another expression when I Googled that to read more about it. They talked about something else about development districts or difficult development areas. Is that anything that the city recognizes? I hadn't heard that term before.
I think that fits into another federal program or programs. Difficult to develop might be enterprise zones. Use that particular term. It would be useful to look at if you're looking at kind of the variation in income within your community, but its origin is in qualifying areas for a particular federal program. That's all I have. Dan, did you have anything you wanted to add? Or anything I didn't say correctly? Or?
Nothing major. We are held to what the census provides to us. So it provides the shapes of a lot of this. We have no control over. So if we want to go further, we will definitely need to take into account. We try to make them as compact and continuous as possible and not make islands and not make it horrifyingly finger-like into other districts. So we did try to do the balance. Was slow to come in. The poverty, we'll say the poverty and median income data is not available at the bottom level. If that's something anyone's thinking about, that's only at the track level. consumes any green blocks. We can do definitely take care of whatever you may need in the future.
Yeah, there's a lot of products that are based on estimates too that are, of course, available, that, but they might not be whole counts as part of the 2020 data, but they, they're part of the American Community Survey, for example, and those can be used in combination. We just want to be aware that we're using sample data in some cases and whole count data in others.
How often is the American Community Survey run? Is it every 5 years?
I think it's kind of a rolling proposition, depending on what the specific survey item is. Yeah, but I think they're generally 5 year.
My office works
touches
1 year into 5 year.
Yeah.
But the 5 year is only done once in between the 10 year census.
Is it always in the middle, or does it stagger?
Yeah, I believe it's right in the middle.
It
is all an estimate. It's just based on a lot of factors. We've done a lot of work to pull data directly from the census. We don't have to do two or three weeks worth of work. We can actually take their raw information and put it into a system.
Further inquiries?
Seeing none. We have a closed session tonight briefly, and I would move that the City Council of the City of Columbia immediately go into a closed meeting hearing conference from 1A1B of City Hall to discuss the leasing, purchase, or sale of real estate by a public government body with public knowledge of the transaction might adversely affect the legal consideration. Therefore, pursuant to Section 610.021, subsection 2 of the Constitution, is my motion. Is there a second? By Betsy Peters. Councilmember Wainer.
Yes.
Mr. Scowles asks, Mr. Thomas.
Yes.
Mr. Spencer.
Yes.
Ms. Peters.
Yes.
Mr. Treese votes aye. Ms. Fowler.
Yes.